every once in a while we do a story on Detroit because it is just exhibit A in how the United States is showing, you know, Greece-like tendencies with its government finances. I mean, Detroit has lost over, you know, nearly two-thirds of its population. It has declared bankruptcy under Chapter 9. They have an overseer who is now basically calling the shots in Detroit after their city council had agreed to 20 conditions to keep this from happening, and after a year's time had complied with not one of them. This story just out in the New York Times. Detroit's municipal pension fund paid out money for decades to retirees, active workers, and others above and beyond normal benefits, which cost the city, which was struggling even then, billions of dollars, and helped push it into bankruptcy. The payments, which were not publicly disclosed, included bonuses to retirees, supplements to workers who had not yet retired, and cash to families of workers who died before they were eligible to collect a pension. It's not known how much each person received, but available records indicate that the trustees approving the payments gave money to virtually everybody in the plan. Most of the trustees on Detroit's two pension boards represent organized labor. And so when the other trustees would say no, the union reps, who had a majority, outvoted them. Since June, Detroit's Auditor General has been examining the pension system for evidence of fraud or malfeasance. Their report comes out later today, but they already have indicated what's in the report. Their Detroit's independent Auditor General said it was like dandelions. You just accept them. They were there. There's something you've seen all your life. Boy, there's someone who's been acclimated to a world of corruption. When asked on what legal authority the trustees made the payments, Mr. Harris, the independent auditor, said, "My understanding was it had to be approved by the city council, and council was under the belief that the money was there, that the pension funds were earning the money, with the consideration that in bad times the city would be making up the difference. I hate to say that because ultimately the fund has to be funded by taxpayers." Now, why would the city have money during bad times to make up the difference? A spokesman for Detroit's pension trustees said she thought the actuary's analysis, which concluded that these extra payments, just the extra payments now, cost Detroit nearly $2 billion over 23 years, was, quote, "not being fully straight with what happened," close quote. She said that the trustees were administering benefits that had been negotiated by the city and its various unions, and they had established an internal account to set aside excess earnings that would cover the costs. Excess earnings in a public pension fund? When's the last time you heard about excess earnings in a pension fund? She said it was appropriate for retirees to benefit from market upturns because they paid into the pension fund. Quote, "people were having a hard time living hand to mouth and we thought we'd give them some extra," close quote. That is a quote from the spokeswoman for the pension fund. When Detroit went to the bond market because it was facing bankruptcy, it acknowledged that it needed cash for its pension fund, but it didn't explain why, and did not acknowledge that it had been paying out more than the plan had called for, including bonuses known as 13th checks, which was uncovered in a Detroit Free Press investigation. Nor did the city describe the pension fund's distributions to active workers, or that a shift back in the late 90s to a 401k type plan was blocked and turned instead into a death benefit. This mess in Detroit is not because of the economy. It's not because of, you know, people leaving the city and that, you know, it's just a bad, bad market for the automotive industry. No, the reason why Detroit's in trouble is that there's a rank corruption up and down every level of government, from its pension fund to its city council to its school district to its former mayor. I mean, everyone is just in there to grab money. And, you know, it's the reason why these companies left, who'd want to stay in a city where crime was rising and was rationalized, where you have race baiting politics used all the time, and was done by their former mayor, Coleman Young, for the purpose of driving out white and Asian residents because his political base was African American voters. And so he said, you know, get rid of the whites. That means I win every election. And Coleman Young did. But while he was winning every election for 20 years, he was running the city into the ground. And so that's where the city now finds itself. Just it wasn't because of a bad economy. It wasn't because of, you know, an industry where times have gone tough. I mean, those industries are still thriving. They're just thriving in other states because who wants to hang around Detroit? It is just one example after another of what happens when government is not checked. What happens when government doesn't have to play by rules? By the way, you know what Al Sharpton would call Detroit? He would call it a democracy. Remember that little exchange we had with Al Sharpton and the congressman from Georgia, Doug Collins, where Al Sharpton says, is that any way? He was talking about defunding Obamacare. Is that any way for a democracy to act? And Congressman Collins says, a quick reminder, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And Sharpton says, oh, we're not a democracy, are we? And we have the clip.
Come on, Congressman. That's not what this country's supposed to be about.
Hey, Al, just a reminder, this isn't a democracy. It's a republic. And we're reflective of the people that we represent.
Oh, this is not a democracy.
And he went on to explain, a constitutional republic operates with rules, operates with checks and balances, different roles for each sector of government, each branch of government, and different roles for each level of government, where the government does not grant you freedom, your freedom is already inherent. It's inalienable. It's God-given. It's by limiting the power of the government via the Constitution that your freedom is protected. And in Detroit, none of that. It was all, hey, majority rules. We got the council. Do what you want. We got the union pension fund. Send out extra money. And that's what they end up with.